Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
What is this, amateur hour?
Yeah, I ain't no Superman businessman like you. You know, I'm just an
amateur,
I suppose.
Amateur hour
is what's happening.
Amateur hour
is what's happening.
Do you remember the year 2012 in September? That's when amateur hour first began. Just two friends talking about the Chiefs. The team was awful. A lot's changed since 11 years ago. Now we have Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes. And oh yeah, we won a Super Bowl.
You're welcome.
It's almost time for amateur hour. It's almost time for amateur hour. It's almost time for amateur hour to start. Football and friendship and lots of fun, yeah. Football and friendship and lots of fun, yeah. Football and friendship and lots of fun, oh yeah.
Wow. Let's go!
Yeah, that's right, folks. The show's called Amateur Hour. I am Ryan Scott Hall, and joining me today, my friend, is Dirkness.
Sup?
Dirk, it's been, a little over 48 hours since one of the worst...
What day is this?
Yeah, right? Man, I don't, did you have like a pretty dark reaction to this game? Because it was awful, man.
I did. Yes. Which is positive. One thing, I mean, one of our recurring themes of last season was, you know, caring about the Chiefs again. Do we care about them as much as we did before they won the Super Bowl? I do feel back to that level, honestly. I was extremely into the game. Part of this might be because I had them in my survivor pools and I'm in a loser pool and I had them in that. So I had action kind of all over the place on this game based on them winning and they did not. So that added a little bit to it. But no, I was extremely pissed during the game, shortly after the game. It was a hard pill to swallow.
So
it was just ugly. It was embarrassing. It was not fun to watch. It was ugly, ugly football.
Andy Reid now 5-6 on the mini bye. And
wait, say that again? 5-6 coming off of like a Thursday night game?
Mm-hmm. Like,
that's bizarre.
Off of extra rest, but not a full bye week.
So he's great off the bye week, but not good coming off the mini bye.
And that, I mean, that honestly, like, the stat set completely aside, that was the part about this game that I just could not swallow. Because, you know, look, like, how can you lose a game that way when you had extra time to prepare? The coaching and the execution were like embarrassing. And I mean, to be candid, like, I know that this stuff happens, you know, they pay, well, you know, any given Sunday and blah, blah, blah. That was an unacceptable performance. Like, I don't, there's no explaining what happened on special teams. There's nothing that Dave Tobe could come up to the microphone and say other than we completely screwed the pooch in every phase of special teams. That would be satisfying. Like, he couldn't be like, well, you know, with the roof open or the window, and it was, you know, and like, sorry, not acceptable. I do not understand how they could perform so poorly, especially with that extra time to prepare. Did that like do the same thing to you? Because that really felt like salt in the wound for me. They looked so discombobulated, and I'm like, you had extra time. I still can't wrap my head around it.
I mean, I would say that more offensively. I mean, I know Dave Tobe has to kind of fall on the sword here, but it's really just Sky Moore misplaying two punts, which isn't, I mean, Dave Tobe isn't out there. It's not great for Sky Moore. I guess you could argue if he should be out there. And then a horrible kicker. Now you can get mad at signing that kicker because we actually had Chase McLaughlin, who was kicking for the Colts on the other side, bang home a 43 and a 51 yarder and hit all his field goals. Meanwhile, we were terrified to trot out our kicker under any circumstances, and deservedly so by the looks of it after what we saw. I mean, I thought he was fine last week. Not sure what happened to this week, but old Amendola was not great. So terrified of putting him out there that we fake a field goal on 4th and 11. That's way too long to fake a field goal on. I mean, even if you complete that pass, there's still someone lurking and probably gets tackled before picking up 11 yards. So that was tough to see. But I mean, beyond the special teams, I mean, the offense looks just as sloppy. And that's more discouraging because you expect the offense to be carrying this team. So yes, it was very frustrating coming off 10 and just sloppy and dumb decisions. I do get mad at Tube for, you know, returning these kicks out of the end zone and having Pacheco get to the 10-yard line and fall down, get to the 15-yard line repeatedly, putting us behind on drives. And I lost my mind when he returned that kick at the end, wasting 6-7 seconds off the clock, only to get rescued by some personal foul on the sideline, which I they showed a replay of, but I was so despondent, I didn't even see it. I missed it. So I still don't know what happened there. But that was just, it's an insane decision to return that kick when you have, I don't know, what were it, 27 seconds or something like that, coming off of the Bills AFC Championship game where we showed, you know, every second matters. We can do this in 13 seconds. Like, you don't risk a kick return when we had no success doing it, and you waste 6 or 7 seconds doing something that just gets you behind where you should be if you just catch the ball in the end zone and kneel it. That was an asinine decision.
So, really rough day for both of the rookie returners. And honestly, I had not considered before watching those results on Sunday that going with two rookie returners could look as bad as it did. It just wasn't something that I considered. And so I guess we have to recognize that, you know, young guys are going to make mistakes here and there. I've heard some calls for just put McColl back out there. But honestly, I thought McColl Hardman's season was over like a game ago. And he is not right. He was not a part of anything on Sunday. And so I don't think you can just say, well, just trot him out there.
He did the Sammy Watkins, I'm going to play, but then I'm going to get hurt the first time I touch the ball. And it's like, now I'm done for the game. Actually, he came back in, but that was like the honorary Sammy Watkins. No, I'm active, but I'm going to play one snap.
Well, we have to also recognize that, like, Sky wasn't even the plan. McDuffie was the one that was doing all the punt return stuff in the preseason and in practice and everything. Like,
but I don't know. I don't like him back there as punt returner. He's too valuable. I don't want to risk him getting hurt because we're thin at corner. Whereas Sky, we actually have some depth at receiver. Debatably, we'll get into that. But you can afford him getting hurt easier than a player like McDuffie, where we're just thin at corner. I don't want to risk losing him like we already did.
You know, and that's the
crazy McColl makes part. Mistakes too. McColl makes mistakes too. Sorry.
No. Yeah. I mean, look, a lot of talk leading up to that game about, well, this line is maybe, especially I think in the last couple days, I think it ended up coming down to like 5. And so people are talking about, like, look, the Colts at this point, if they end up 0-2-1, like, they might be looking at in year 5 or 6, Ballard and Reich are like, literally, like, they're coaching and some of these guys are playing for jobs. And so there was a lot of pride on the line for the Colts and whatever. The Colts are terrible. That's a bad football team. They're bad. And I don't think that they did anything to win on Sunday, except for capitalize on the Chiefs' mistakes. They had a 4-yard touchdown
and a final drive. And the final drive.
But that was, and it was still capitalizing on a Chiefs mistake.
That's true. That's true.
So I mean, that drive was over, and you know, we can argue whatever we want about the Chris Jones penalty. Like, the Chiefs did something that allowed the drive to continue, even if it was a stupid call, whatever. And give me those drives. We were talking about the drives, and since we're talking about how these teams played, Colts touchdown was after the fumbled or muffed punt return by Sky Moore, 4-yard drive.
Yeah, so I mean, the touchdown drives by themselves, 3 plays, 4 yards. Chiefs touchdown drive, 4 plays, 35 yards. Chiefs touchdown drive, 5 plays, 21 yards. And then the Colts final touchdown drive, 16 plays, 76 yards, 8 minutes, 14 seconds off the clock. So the first 3 touchdown drives, very short fields. I mean, it was at halftime, both teams had 102 total yards each. Like, it was dreadful performance out there. I did have in my notes, is it the worst loss under Patrick Mahomes? It might end up being the worst team, but I can't say it was a worse loss than getting beat 27-3 by the Titans last year. That one's just hard to top. I know the Titans were better, but still 27-3. Like, that's probably the only game that the Chiefs have never even been competitive in the Patrick Mahomes era. So I think that holds the crown as the worst, quote unquote, worst loss with Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, this is obviously very early in the season. And thankfully, two of our fiercest competitors in the Chargers and the Bills also lost. So, like, you can put that as a silver lining, but it also sucks because you could have been a game up on Buffalo and 2 games up on the Chargers 3 weeks into the season. Like, getting those early leads on the next best teams in the conference would have been really fantastic. And you didn't need to do a whole lot in order to do it. You needed to do one fewer of all of the umpteen mistakes that you ended up making.
But I mean, all in all, I mean, you're totally right, obviously. But
obviously,
honestly, for this team, I mean, 2-1 feels right now. I wouldn't say they looked great against the Chargers. A lot of talk of who was the better team in that. But I mean, just in general, one of the questions going into the season I had was the disease of Les. And I really expected the Chiefs to just play with like a chip on their shoulder all season long after the embarrassing second half performance in that Bengals game. Redoing this whole team, kind of getting Mahomes 2.0, a Chiefs team version 2.0 with Mahomes here. And I just thought they'd kind of play balls to the wall all season. And really, we saw it in week 1. And since then, we've seen 8 lackluster quarters with a 99-yard pick 6 mixed in there. And that's what this team has done. So, I mean, if you're looking at this team overall, I think 2-1 does feel about right. So I'm not mad about where they are. Now, what is scary is if, you know, in another universe, Asante Samuel catches an interception, and now the Chiefs are 1-2, and they're staring down Tampa Bay and Buffalo in the next 2 games. That's scary. I would
sandwiched in between Tampa and Buffalo. I kept making that mistake, too. I believe it's Tampa and then Las Vegas, and then the Bills.
Oh, okay.
We've got the Raiders on Monday night at Arrowhead after this Sunday night game. And then
I blame the Santos chat for that. One of them was saying that. So, Benji, you're no longer an insider for my schedule. I'll look up my own schedule from now on.
Yeah. I suppose I agree. They didn't fully, totally, necessarily deserve to win that Chargers game. They've just been, like, they clearly haven't looked right, quote unquote. Like, and let me ask you this. I mean, can we explain away some of these early season things on, like, well, you know, they completely turned over that wide receiver room, so it's no wonder that they don't necessarily have rhythm yet. And, you know, the offense is I've heard so many people talk about identity, and I think I think if we're gonna go down that path, to say that the offense doesn't have an identity or lacks identity or whatever, I think I'm gonna say the same thing in different words, because the identity of the offense is Patrick Mahomes. That was their decision. It was Patrick is our offense. I think that the problem that they're facing offensively right now, and I'm sure that other people have said this already in reaction to that game, but my read on it is if it's 3rd and 5 or 3rd and 7 or 3rd and anything, you're basically only looking at Travis Kelce. And I felt like Mahomes did that multiple times in the game. And it was just like telegraphing, because he does not trust any of these receivers yet, seemingly, and none of them are standing out. And so they just like, they don't know what they're good at. I think that they, that is where maybe the identity thing comes from in that conversation, is like, I don't know what the Chiefs offense does well. And we could have pointed to something like, well, they have a lot of talent on the offensive line, or they have Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, or obviously they have Patrick Mahomes, but like, I don't know. We went from maybe being excited about all these new weapons to now just being like, can somebody do something for us? Do we just need one of these receivers to have a 100-yard game and then we'll feel differently? Because I think we all entered the season, I want to say in our show previewing the season, I said every receiver will have a 100-yard day. It will happen. And I don't, aside from Juju, I don't think anybody's had like a 40-yard day. So through 3 weeks, receivers looking rough.
Yeah, I mean, it's the first time. We all know this is going to happen at some point. We're going to have the, you know, Tyreek versus the 3-receiver replacement conversation. Now, one thing I don't think everybody expected was the Dolphins to be as good as they are with Tyreek balling out. I think a lot of people expected him to struggle a little bit with Tua. He's really going off so far. But really, I think the problem with the receivers so far, I mean, Juju had 80-something yards in this game, so close to 100. But I don't really trust any of them to beat one-on-one coverage at this point, which was the whole point. The whole point was, hey, you had 2 guys, but nothing else. And now, I mean, it almost kind of looks like you got 1 guy and nothing else. But the in theory, it was supposed to be all these guys should be able to beat one-on-one coverage, all these new guys. And I mean, Juju, just kind of a fat slot. He's not the quickest. I mean, I'm fine with Juju. He's doing his thing. MVS, I mean, it's either like a 5-yard stop or he's going deep. And that really seemed like that's about all he's got. Like, I don't trust him to win one-on-one like this. Like, we're getting this final play situation here. We're at like the 45, 47, wherever we're at, you know, 7 seconds. Like, okay, we need 10 yards here. Who can beat their man? And they're going to double team Kelce. And I don't know. I mean, like, once the snap happened, I was like, I don't know who we go to. Like, I don't know who we trust here. And so that was like the first time that I missed Tyreek Hill on that final drive, where I was just thinking about the defensive coordinator's job, and he doesn't have that fear of like, okay, well, we can't let Tyreek Hill do this. And they base their whole defense around that, and we can base our whole play around that. Like, that kind of changes everything. And in this spot, like in a tight spot like that, where you need to make something happen right away, we didn't have that. And we didn't really have a go-to play, and we ended up with this lame slant where maybe Juju ran the wrong route, like Romo said. Not sure, but he definitely wasn't open, and it leads to a deflected interception.
I agree with the Tyreek point. Very well said in that way. I honestly hadn't even... I've tried to just kind of eject Tyreek out of my brain. Like, I don't want to do comparisons and stuff. Like, he's not here, so whatever. But yeah, I think that they definitely are missing him for sure. The person that I think is, although inexperienced, the person that to me seems most equipped to beat man coverage other than Travis Kelce is Sky Moore.
Yep.
We've all raved about his releases. They've talked about how, despite him only playing receiver for a few years, he was one of the best route runners in the draft class. He's got these gigantic hands. All these different things about him scream, this is the guy that gets open quickly and can probably continue to create separation after he creates it right off the snap because of how good he is at getting off the line. Why they're not even really considering using him offensively, I don't know. He may just not be ready. But like, I also was calling for them after he had muffed the punt, like give him the next offensive touch. Give him a design. Like we've done that with McColl practically every time he's turned the ball over. We go right back to him. And they didn't do that. Sky, I do believe, was on the field at least for the first offensive play after his turnover. But him not being involved, especially when the offense is struggling, is very strange to me. Especially with McColl being hobbled too. I'm not sure what's going on there. I really don't know what to make of it, but we just had like no rhythm whatsoever offensively. And like, dude, people were lining up, myself at the front of the queue, to clown Gus Bradley for running cover three like he always does. Like, this might be as bad a Mahomes performance as we've seen against Gus Bradley's defense, apart from maybe like his rookie year. I mean, people have talked about how stupid Gus Bradley is for the way that he played Mahomes last year, because it was like the Chiefs have four bad games in a row against cover two, put up 40 against the Raiders, and then have a bunch more bad games in a row against cover two, and then put up 40 plus against the Raiders again. Like Gus Bradley, he of no adjustments. This Colts defense without their best player and the guy that patrols the entire middle of the field, and it just didn't matter. I don't know where it's gonna come from, and it's gone from the, in a good way, you never know, anybody could score, anybody can make the play, to like, can anybody make a play? what are we doing?
No, Tommy, totally agree. I mean, the time to get Sky Moore involved in the offense is now, if not, you know, 2 days ago. I don't know if they, I mean, once you see the struggles, like make an adjustment here. Like, now that was the time to put Sky Moore in, maybe just because it was a tight game and you don't quite trust him. But it seems like an Andy Reid thing that he doesn't want to play rookie receivers, but he has to get over that. Because honestly, I think Sky Moore could be the wide receiver one on this team. I got high hopes for him. The punt return drops have no effect on him as a receiver. I know that was bad. But I want to see him in there winning on one-on-one routes on the inside. Like, throw him in the slot, let him run some slants and some outs, and get some easy yardage that way. And then you have MVS as your deep guy, and you got Juju as kind of your big body possession guy, and roll with those three and get McColl in there for gadget stuff and other quick stuff. But you got the weapons, but they're just not using Sky Moore. And you got, I mean, other people are complaining about this, but you got Noah Gregg in 26 snaps here. And this is a big problem with the offense right now, because typically when they go two tight ends, they bring in Blake Bell, and he's a good blocker, and that's helping the run game, which was horrible, just absolutely dreadful in this game. Noah Gray, not a good blocker. So now we got two tight ends in there, neither of which are good blockers. Noah Gray not giving you much as a receiver either. So these are all just kind of like, we're just putting out a slower offense that can't block. And it's just, that's what's leading to an ugly offense. So I would take all those Noah Gray snaps, immediately give them to Sky Moore, or sign a different tight end or something. But that, don't run that formation anymore. Like, that's not going to work. So I would change that. Sky Moore is, I mean, just get involved. A Mahomes question here, while we're on him, I didn't think he was great by any means. I do think there is an alternate universe here where, you know, he hits MVS on that deep ball, Kelce catches that touchdown that he drops, and, you know, the Chiefs kind of waltz to a 31-17 victory here. So there is that universe. That's not a, you know, excuse for Mahomes, because he missed that throw. But, you know, if that happens, it's just like a ho-hum, you know, Chiefs 10-14 point road win, like we've seen hundreds of times before, but they just didn't make the playoffs. with Mahomes, my question is, he having any fun? Is Mahomes having any fun? And I think this is important because he's just too important. Like, you want him to enjoy the game. And I saw a stat, he was 30th in the NFL in 20 plus yard throws in 2021. 30th in the NFL, Patrick Mahomes. His percentage is actually down so far this season. And I just, man, the way, the thing with Bienemy, I don't think it was a big deal. I think it was people doing their jobs. But the look on Patrick Mahomes' face, I didn't like it. I didn't like it. It looked like a guy who's been stuck in a relationship too long and he's had these arguments and he just looked kind of tired of it. And that scares me a little. Like, I'm not jumping anything here, but I want Patrick Mahomes to have fun. I want him to want to be here. I want him to enjoy the Chiefs, enjoy this offense, be having fun, lighten it up like old times. And I don't know how you get back to it. I don't know how you get back to it. Change the plays. I would like to see him go up tempo. I think that's kind of the easiest way. That's kind of how he was brought up. But I just don't think Andy Reid's ever going to do it. I don't think we're ever going to go up tempo when we don't have to. Like, Andy just doesn't not even on his radar. So I don't think that's going to happen. I would love to see it, but I do worry, is Patrick Mahomes having fun?
I mean, it's really interesting because what I started to think, and this is me in the always defending the Chiefs posture, was how much fun did Peyton Manning and Tom Brady have in years where they weren't just, you know, true juggernauts offensively. I mean, we think about all these different iterations, particularly with that Patriots team. And Brady is such a tough comparison because he's, I don't think that Brady is gifted in any way except for being a psychopathic competitor. Like, he's not this amazing athlete at all. I mean, it's the most amazing thing is that he throws with the velocity that he does at this age. And who knows what he's done in order to achieve that. But I imagine that good offenses that have been good, I mean, how many of these guys are so great out of the gate that they go win an MVP, you know, in year two, throw 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards, and the entire league is like, we have to build our teams to stop that guy for the next 15 years. You know, he's set up in a pretty tough position, and it got tougher when they got rid of Tyreek, or, you know,
at least less fun,
agreement with him or whatever, and certainly less fun, right?
But real quick, I don't think you can compare him to Peyton or Brady, because I think they would get off on breaking down a defense like that. They would be happy to make 6 to 7 yard throws all the way down the field because they have like kind of like a coach's mind. Like, they're going to be like, okay, if you're not going to adjust, we're going to do this. You do this all the way down the field. And I don't care. Like, I don't, Peyton doesn't need to throw deep. He'll do that all day. I think Mahomes wants to run around and make plays. It's more of like a Rodgers or Brett Favre out there. That's like, he needs to be out running wild, making crazy plays and doing all this, which, I mean, we see a little bit of, but just not enough. And it's almost, I mean, it goes back to the difficult conversation of, I mean, how much do you want to tame Mahomes? How much do you want to neuter him? Like, you hear it throughout last year, like, well, he's got to stay in the pocket and he's got to take the check down. I mean, I guess that might be the answer, but you're also taking away what he's best at. So it's just such a fine line with Mahomes to walk on. How much do you try to keep him in the pocket, making this pocket passer? I mean, look at like Russell Wilson. He's trying to stay in the pocket and be a pocket passer, and he looks dreadful. And then they finally have a successful drive, and it's because he's running around and he's running for first downs and he's breaking tackles, he's spinning around, and it's like, oh yeah, that's what Russell Wilson does. But as soon as he's staying in the pocket doing nothing, it's just like he isn't good. He's not good. So I don't have the answer. It just popped in my mind, mostly thinking about that moment with Bienemy and just the look on his face where it's just like, man, come on. Like, let me do this. Let me do something here.
I didn't like give a moment of thought to Mahomes and Bienemy. I mean, it pales in comparison to some of the stuff that we've seen altercation wise on the sidelines with Eric Bienemy. And yeah, I think that I was in the same spot that you described, at least as far as like, it's two guys just trying to do their job, basically. Let me ask you this about Mahomes. I don't know if at many points in the, what, I don't know, 3,000 pass attempts or so that he's had in the NFL to this point, I think a very, very minuscule percentage of those would be what we might call contested balls or contested throws. Think about all those next gen stats that we've seen in the past about the Chiefs receivers and the amount of separation that they have. And I don't know if that has to do with Andy Reid design. I don't know if that has to do with Patrick Mahomes buying time and finding the guy that's way wide open or what. But one of the things that I think we started thinking about with these newer players, Juju is not necessarily a separation guy. He's a bigger body dude that can outposition people to the football and ultimately try to break some tackles. MVS, the separation, when and if he's able to create it, is probably going to be more downfield stuff because he's a bigger body guy. There's going to be people that he's an easy target as far as defenders are concerned. But that also means that if Mahomes is going to throw him some of these short balls, and especially on timing stuff, like unless he's able to run away from the defender as he's crossing the field, like, I have not asked you a question. My question is, does Mahomes, like, does he like to throw contested balls? Because there are, like, I look at, like, Joe Burrow, and that is what Joe Burrow does. I'm going to chuck it up, and I'm going to let T. Higgins and Jamar Chase go and get it. And Mahomes has never really done that. He's never done that because of the weapons. And so if he's not willing to do that with some of these bigger-bodied guys, then what's the point of having them? Like, I start to wonder, like, how would he utilize Mike Williams? You know, like, maybe Mike Williams owns the air. Like, that's really what he's known for. But, like, this is, seems like a thing that might not be in his bag. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure where it comes from. I mean, the stat you're talking about is, like, his receivers are more open than all other receivers in the league. Like, the receivers he was throwing to had more separation than any other quarterback in the league, essentially, was the stat you were dancing around. So yeah, with that, I don't know. I mean, I flash back to, like, week two when he throws that, we throw like a fade stop kind of to Jody Fortson, and it's the one that Asante Samuel almost picks off and could have taken 100 yards. That was like a jump ball, and it didn't work out at all. So, I mean, that play didn't work out. I'm not really blaming Mahomes or Fortson. I don't know what went wrong there, really. But I don't want to see it. And then I think of his upbringing, just coming up through Texas Tech and the spread. And it's a lot of concepts, and it's a lot of just five wide receivers out there, and I'm going to find the open man and throw it to him. Like, it's not like I'm going to find the one-on-one matchup and give my guy a chance. It's, I'm going to find the open guy and get it to him. Yeah. So, I mean, maybe that is his preference, I guess. I mean, it's smart. I would kind of rather see that, I guess, unless you have like a top flight. I mean, Tyreek was fantastic, but it wasn't for, you know, winning contested balls like that.
I mean, he's impressive because of his size at being able to win some jump balls and get places that you didn't necessarily think he could. But Mahomes, usually if he's really throwing it up for grabs, it's because he drew somebody off sides, and that's about it. He's trying to make, like, the smart and safe play, find the open guy, and I totally get that. But it's there's something about Juju and MVS specifically that I'm wondering, like, are you just not willing to throw because they don't look really open? It just looks different. I mean, at some point you got to start showing trust in those guys. But I mean, you know, maybe he doesn't trust them, or maybe that's just a pass that he doesn't necessarily want to make. Or maybe Andy's saying, I don't want you to make those throws. You don't
I think Andy's definitely in the equation here, just in terms of you know, helping him become the quarterback that he can be. And, you know, that might be seen as something negative towards Andy, like Andy's like not letting him do this. But it's the combo of Mahomes and Andy that was so unstoppable. It wasn't just that Mahomes came in and was, you know, he's the best quarterback of all time. It was his talent working with Andy's mind. And when they met together, they were unstoppable. And now you're just kind of seeing adjustments to it and troubles along the way. And I don't know the answer. I mean, my number one answer is to get Sky Moore involved, because I feel like you have different pieces all across the board. I don't want to shit on MVS too bad, because he did his job. I mean, he went 4 for 48 in this game and had a 3 or 4 yards of separation on a deep ball that if Mahomes hits him, it's a 70-yard touchdown. That's what you have MVS for, is that exact play, these exact games. Like, so he's doing his job. Juju here with 80 yards, he's doing his thing. I don't really trust him to get open one-on-one, but I don't know if I did coming in. The guy that you trust to get open one-on-one is Sky Moore. So you just got to add him to the mix. And so you have all these different weapons working together. Like, I feel like they have the different pieces and they're just not utilizing one. So utilize that one and it might be more of a complete puzzle.
Well, and at least to me, like, to add on to that Sky Moore point, why is it? Like, I know it's only 3 games and I would have to go back and look at his snap counts and utilization, and I'm not going to do it. But when I think about I'm thinking in comparison to Mecole Hardman as a rookie. Mecole Hardman, who scored something like 8 touchdowns as a rookie between rushing, receiving, and returning. And it's like he's getting all these manufactured touches in his rookie year. They're working him into the offense, even though there's not necessarily like a wide open position for him. They're handing him the ball. They're doing reverses. They're doing these manufactured little screeny touches and stuff. Why aren't they doing that with Sky Moore? Like, especially with Mecole being banged up. Tyreek's not out there, guys. Mecole's not out there. Have we just removed that piece of the offense? They don't know what they're good at. I don't think that Andy knows how to call plays for this group of players just yet. I don't know that the players know exactly where they're supposed to be or what routes they're supposed to run. There's no rhythm. They're just not there yet. And that's fine. It's early in the year. But I mean,
just looking up McColl's snaps here, I'm not sure what happened, but the first 6 weeks, he was kind of over 50% the entire time. And then at some point, it dropped down to, you know, 15, 19, 22%, 18%.
As a rookie?
Halfway through the season, yeah, in 2019, I'm not sure if that was like Sammy Watkins injury related or DeMarcus Robinson or something, but okay. Early in the season, he was playing a lot. I mean, for week one, 78% of the snaps.
Probably Watkins. But
yeah, well, I know Watkins played in that first week because it was the Jacksonville game when he took like that first drive. He took that.
That's right. Yeah, he had a big day that day. That's right. That's right.
But Mecole, second game, 61 yards. Third game, 2 catches for 97 yards. Fifth game, 4 catches, 79 yards. So he was contributing right away. I mean, who knows what kind of plays those were, but I pray to Andy Reid that he's going to, you know, look at what's going on and be like, we need to scrap the 2 tight ends because that's not working. It doesn't make sense with 2 receiving tight ends when one of them is not receiving anything, and get Sky more involved. Especially when Hardman's like, the Hardman point's a great one, because if he's banged up, I don't know how Sky Moore is not getting in there. Like, it just doesn't, the offensive game plan really, in that game just doesn't really add up. Doesn't make sense.
And I think that you can probably make some excuses a little bit in terms of maybe just being affected by some of the stuff that was happening on special teams, whether it was bad kick returns or bad punt returns. I mean, the Chiefs basically had awful field position. Shout out to our special teams. And great field position, shout out to our defense, who we need to talk about, but I do want to ask this first, before we talk about the defense. Is there a chance that none of this has anything to do with Patrick Mahomes or Andy Reid or the offense or Dave Tobert and the special teams or rookie returners, and it's all just getting weird against the Colts? Like, is that what we're doing here? Is that what happened on Sunday?
It might be. And I got some weird stats here. These are courtesy of Scott Cashmere. Cashmere? Not sure of how you say it, but he's an underrated Twitter follower. He's not very active, but he doesn't have many followers. but he just tweets out weird stats. I think he works for Football Outsiders. Over the last 30 years, the Chiefs are now 4-14 against the Colts, including a 1-4 record in the playoffs. The only two losses of Mahomes' career to an opponent that scored fewer than 26 points, both to the Colts. The only two losses of Mahomes' career to a team with under 340 yards of offense, both to the Colts. They only had 259 yards of offense. Mahomes' first start where the Chiefs didn't score 26 points was against the Colts. And also his first start where they didn't score 22 points. Or wait, something's backwards there. I don't know. But yeah, just weird stats against the Colts. It's the only team they've lost to that ended the season with fewer than 8 wins was the 2019 Colts. I mean, just weird voodoo. I mean, that's what he said. It was just like horseshoe voodoo is what he called it or something like that. Mm. It's just these weird Chiefs and Colts stats. Man, something we just can't get over. I mean, we beat them in the playoffs, I guess. So we got that on our belt. But man, just, I thought we were over it. I didn't even see it coming. I mean, I've hated the Colts for years because of this and still didn't see it coming. And then boom, kicks us right in the teeth again.
Just bad vibes in that building against that team, looking at those uniforms. I don't care who's wearing them. There's just something about the Colts, and particularly the Colts on the road, that I just hate. Man, they started playing or showing like still pictures from 45-44.
Yeah, why were they bringing that up? And shut up. Just
like,
fuck off.
Get out of here, CBS. That has nothing to do with what's going on right now. Ugh.
One quick note. We haven't addressed the offensive line. I think we need to talk about how bad they were. Oh, yeah, I guess
it doesn't even need to be that quick, because what in the world is happening?
Yeah, I no clue. We kind of went into it last week that they just, you know, they've been billed, they've been overhyped, and I just not seen it. I feel like Trey Smith has been really bad.
Didn't he hurt his foot in week one or something?
Yeah, I mean,
people have told me he has a bad wheel.
I mean, he's banged up, but I mean, it just seems like, I don't know, a lot of mistakes coming from his side. Maybe it's him and Wiley working together. And then a lot of Colts were able to confuse the Chiefs up front, which has kind of been a storyline this week, that the offensive line of the Chiefs has been confused by blitz packages. And kind of the working theory that I'm hearing is that they just didn't see hardly any blitzes last season. And so they're just not used to handling blitzes. And now, for whatever reason, teams are randomly blitzing Mahomes, which we shredded Arizona with. But now, the last 2 weeks, the Chargers and Colts have had some success doing it. And the offensive line just not used to seeing it and not picking it up well. So I'm not sure, you know, how you figure that out. I don't know, coaching, I guess. But, I mean, the offensive line, I mean, we haven't even gotten into the running game, which is dreadful. The short yardage game, which is beyond dreadful. Like, the offensive line just not doing anything well right now.
You may not have the answer to this, but are they being blitzed more, or are teams getting more creative about how four guys are rushing Mahomes? It's only three games, such a small sample size, but I don't necessarily recall seeing, you know, five or six guys rushing Mahomes on Sunday. I don't even necessarily remember that against the Chargers, but I do remember in the aftermath of that Chargers game, hearing people talk about like where the pressure is coming from. The Chiefs are just having all these different miscommunications on their offensive line, and that's why Mahomes is getting hit a lot. He's still not really being sacked, I don't think, but it's like the last moment getting rid of the ball on practically every pass.
Yeah, I mean, he's so good at sensing pressure, but it's just killing plays. I mean, one play this week was Orlando Brown tripping over the tight end, and that just destroys the play. The Cardinals blitzed a lot, and they didn't have any success. The Chargers blitzed as something like 30% of the time, but people were talking about them blitzing zero times coming into the game. I never saw an answer. I never saw a stat on the Colts blitzing. So theirs might have been just more confusion. Theirs was more Orlando Brown just getting whooped over and over and over. Yannick Ngakoue just living in the backfield. And it felt like on every single dropback, Mahomes was under pressure. Like, he's running for his life. I did look up PFF grades today on the offensive line because I was just kind of like, where's the weak point here? They got Creed as the number one center.
Did you actually look them up, or did you ask people on Twitter to send them to you?
I did ask people. I did not get a response. So, you know, I shouldn't
I be tried to not do my own research, but
nevertheless. I shouldn't be sharing this with the people because they do not deserve it. But alas, I'm going to be the bigger man here and share it anyways. I actually signed up for a PFF account because I was tired of like trying to find these randomly, and it was just $10 a month. So okay. I have a PFF account now. So Creed, number one center. Yeah, PFF. Yeah, yeah. Hey, adjusted score. We won this week. Now 2-1, an adjusted record. Take that.
Good for us.
Tooney is the number five guard. Trey Smith, 43rd ranked guard. Andrew Wiley, who most people think is the weak point, the 30th ranked tackle. And Orlando Brown, the 49th ranked tackle. I mean, these are essentially out of 62 or 64, if you're thinking 32 teams and two guards, two tackles each. So Trey Smith, Andrew Wiley, and Orlando Brown would be the weak points right now. They still think Creed and Tooney are doing good jobs inside. I mean, I still question that because we can't pick up 1 yard to save our lives. Like, we get down to the goal line and we can't put it in the end zone. We have to do all this kind of trick plays, and people want to get mad at Andy. What's he supposed to do? We can't run it in. He tried to run it in from the 1 yard lane. We can't do it.
And I don't know what to say about it. Like, I want to be able to talk about it, and I don't know what to say, because if I believe all of the people that talk about the amount of talent on the offensive line, the quality of the coaching that you get from Andy Heck, and particularly when you think about the size of a lot of these guys, like, they should very easily be able to move the line of scrimmage a yard or two to make it real easy for somebody to get into the end zone or pick up a first down. And they're not doing that. And I do know, and I hate that I do this all the time. I feel like I keep asking questions of Andy. Andy is not somebody that I need to be asking questions of. But like, I know that a lot of guys fail in the league because they end up in the wrong system. And that may not be fair when thinking about this, because most of these guys played pretty exceptionally last year. And so that's why we're even talking about it, is because this seems like the aberration. Why aren't they playing as good as they did last year? I want to chalk it up to, there's just a lot of new pieces, and you know, it's kind of going to be a transitional thing and they'll find their stride and whatever, but there's not a lot that I can say to make sense of how bad that offense has looked. The Chargers defense, I think, was excellent. We destroyed the Cardinals. This Colts game doesn't make sense to me. And if we have to watch because they play Tampa upcoming on Sunday Night Football, largely considered the best defense in the league, if we go a third straight game of really inconsistent, unpredictable offensive production, I know that going into that Raiders game, everybody's just going to be calling for, here's the get right game, you know, and certainly that's the hope. But like, I don't expect the Chiefs to go out and light it up against Tampa, regardless of where they end up playing that game, because they just haven't necessarily shown that they've got the ability to do that, and particularly not against a great defense like that. After they shat the bed against a bad Colts defense, I don't know what to expect, man.
Yeah, it will be interesting. I mean, the Bucs defense playing great. I think they're only giving up 9 points a game so far this season. So I mean, that's a tough spot. And I mean, this is the first time we played since the Super Bowl, so I mean, a lot of bragging rights, a lot of stuff went into that game. A lot of talking. Some of those guys are gone now, but still, that's a spot where you want to see the Chiefs respond. And if the Bucs, you know what they're going to do. They're going to come out and be physical and trying to beat us up. And we got to be ready. I mean, we're supposed to have a more physical team at this point. I don't know if we've really seen that, but they're going to have to respond physically to a physical defense. So this will be a very, very interesting game.
Just because we're we're on that. We'll save the defense for last. Save the best for last. I feel like I'm more concerned with, I really feel like the Chiefs need to go out and win this game than anything to do with Mahomes and Brady. I'm not even like really thinking about that element. The, oh, well, you know, we want Mahomes to have a better head-to-head record against him. And even if it's a meaningless regular season game, like there's a bunch of little weird bragging rights because Brady's Brady. And like this game doesn't even necessarily feel like Mahomes Brady to me. Like I just need the Chiefs to win. I don't care about anything else. Just please go win that game. Because I really need to get the taste out of my mouth from Indianapolis. Like I'm beside myself with frustration about the way that they played against the Colts. With that being said, and actually here's one more little contextual stat on how poorly that offensive line and ultimately the Chiefs running game has been performing, from Nate Tice, which probably got passed around a fair amount in Chiefs circles. The Chiefs running backs rushed for one first down on 17 combined carries against Indianapolis. Ugly. At least Clyde scored a short yardage kind of goal line package touchdown. That might be the first of his career.
I think since week one of his rookie year.
So the Chiefs defense on Sunday against the Colts, you mentioned what, 259 total yards?
Which is fewer yards than they allowed in any one game last year.
Look, we've kind of been tracking it, and I think that it might maybe end up kind of being a theme. We'll see. Some of this might also just be related to, you know, the kind of football that's being played in the league right now. But against the Cardinals, 103 total rushing yards surrendered by the Chiefs defense, and their like feature back James Conner 10 for 26. Against the Chargers, 75 total rushing yards as a team, Eckler 14 for 39. And then on Sunday, with the one and only Jonathan Taylor, the Colts had 82 total rushing yards, and Taylor went 21 for 71. This Chiefs run defense seems real to me. And I still don't think that Arizona or the Chargers are necessarily good running teams. And Indy's offensive line is not what it once was. But I am suddenly quite confident about this defense and their ability to stop the run. Because on top of the fact that they held Taylor to 21 for 71... that defense was missing arguably three starters. McDuffie out with injury, Gay out suspended, Dana out with injury. Dana, known for being a great run defender, particularly on the edge. We don't think of him as a pass rusher, and they still held Jonathan Taylor to 21 for 71 with Darius Harris running around making plays in space.
Darius Harris, please.
They were easily the best unit on the field Sunday, the Chiefs defense. Not particularly close. Better than any unit from either team. I thought the defense was incredible on Sunday. Yeah, I still think the Colts are terrible, but I was so impressed with the way that they played defense. And if it were not for that, whatever unsportsmanlike conduct or whatnot they give to Chris Jones, it's one of the best defensive performances of, you know, Spags and the Chiefs, of Andy Reid's tenure as Chiefs coach. I thought that they were dominant on Sunday, apart from that, what happened after the penalty, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, I almost wonder if you take away just that penalty for talking words politely. I'm not sure if I've ever seen like an unsportsmanlike for just talking, like maybe standing over and talking, like maybe getting in someone's face as you're talking, but just no actions whatsoever. Just Chris Jones, Matt Ryan, kind of walking off the field, slowly looking at each other, saying a few things. I mean, what could he have possibly said that drew a 15-yard penalty? It boggles my mind. So I mean, if you think about the defense at this point, if you think about the team at this point, if they just don't call that, they get off the field there, and then, you know, maybe offense runs the clock out or something. We're looking at like, man, the offense didn't look good. Special teams was horrible, but this defense is for real. And Mahomes and Andy are going to figure out the offense. So if the defense is this good, then this team is good to go, which I think is a fair way to look at this team, you know, as is. Like, the offense is going to get it going. They might not be to the 2018-2020 level, maybe not ever again, but they're at least going to pick it up and be, you know, a top five unit. So I have absolute faith that the offense is going to figure out. The defense is always the question mark with this team, and they look good. And that, man, I've been wrestling with the idea that that late drive, it just kind of felt inevitable, even though the defense had played that good. And I think, like, I was kind of like, man, why does it feel like that? And I think it's more of a reaction to the penalty. Like, I was just so upset about the penalty that I just was feeling negative about the game going on. And it was more of a reaction to the call, I think, than like a lack of faith in the defense. But it was like, man, there's no worse feeling than an offense driving down and just draining the clock and taking the ball out of Mahomes' hands. Like, it's the worst feeling. It's worse than like not being able to stop the run, which I thought was used to be like the worst feeling in football, when you're just watching a team run it down your throat and you can't stop it. Now I feel like that's the worst thing. And it's similar to the Bengals last year. And it's just, I just feel cheated if Mahomes doesn't get his shot. And, you know, he kind of got the shot with like 27 seconds. But like, I want him to get his legit shot at all times. And man, it was painful to watch. It's a terrible feeling. I do have one small complaint. I thought Spagnuolo was fantastic most of the day. He was bringing crazy blitzes. But in that last drive, with them draining the clock like that, you have to start blitzing. You have to either force them to make a play, a scoring play, or get a stop. And you cannot let them just do it 5 yards at a time, because that's exactly what they want to do. So if you bring a blitz, you know, they might get a big play, but then you get the ball back with time and Mahomes can answer. Or you get a stop. But it has to be one or the other. You cannot let them go down like that, drain all the clock, and then score and not leave Mahomes enough time to answer on the other end. Like, you just cannot let that happen. And it sucks, because that's what Spags lives and dies by, the blitz. And, you know, I haven't gone back and watched his drive or anything, but I feel like we weren't blitzing. We were just letting them take 5 yard completions all the way down the field, which is exactly what they wanted to do and exactly what we let them do. So that was very frustrating.
I mean, to have the game such an ugly, 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 ugly performance by both offenses, and to have the game come down to this 16 play over 8 minute drive that was extended by penalty when the Colts
and a fourth down in their own end, fourth and one sneak, which Matt Ryan can sneak.
Yeah.
Old 38-year-old skeleton Matt Ryan.
Well, and that's the other missing element of the offense. Without Blake Bell, we don't have the sneak attack, you know? Man, what an outsized loss. And like, Blake Bell, pfft, who cares? And yet, like, well, I kind of care now. Okay. We need his blocking and we need his sneaking. He's very sneaky.
I'm on the phone with Jason Dunn yesterday. I'm calling him up. Jay Dunn, we need a blocking tight end. You were the best in the league. What was that, 19 years ago? We need you back. We need you to put out the Jason Dunn signal, put it in the sky in Kansas City. Let him respond. I know he's active on Twitter now. I think he'll see it. Get him back in there. I know he can still block some fools. Better than Noah Gray.
I thought that people were talking about, like, just figuring out a way to use Allegretti as an additional blocker and, like, have him be a tight end, but just like put another guy out there. And I don't see why not. I mean, they could do the same thing with Prince or, you know, Darren Kennard or a healthy Lucas Niang. I don't care. I use an offensive lineman. That's fine. Noah Gray, not really a weapon in my book. When we think about the defense, I mean, you're right. He was definitely bringing some crazy blitzes. I thought they had nonstop pressure really the entire game. Constantly speeding up Matt Ryan. And then when the ball is thrown, whether it's caught or it ends up being deflected or whatnot, like there were just guys flowing to the ball the entire game. And really, I mean, I was kind of being a dick, but like Darius Harrius, nice, this was a good job. I mean, dude, he played a killer game. Like really impressive, honestly, at least as far as like some of the plays that he made it to and some of the hits that he made. I mean, he's a linebacker, expected to do some of that, but
I thought he was getting picked on a little bit early. They were kind of targeting him in the passing game, definitely on that touchdown and a couple other plays in there. But overall, I mean, ends up with 13 tackles I saw. But second half, I mean, I didn't see them really attacking him too much. I mean, maybe look at that last drive. I think I blacked out during, so I don't know what happened on that last drive. But they were targeting him a bit early. But overall, he was fine. He did his job.
I really thought Snead had a pretty excellent day, despite that one kind of missed interception. They were saying it was in his hands, and I don't know that I agreed, but like also my CBS feed was just asinine. It was so bad all day.
Was this like the deep ball or at least intermediate, and it kind of
Snead was like running in front of the route, and I mean he was there, I don't know, but the Colts ended up catching it.
I definitely wouldn't say in his hands. It was kind of, I mean, he was there. I think he got his hand on it.
Romo was saying that, like, the receiver basically took it from him, or he didn't control it, but he was like, yeah, it's like, oh, you know. And I'm like, oh, shut up.
I think he thought that, but it was just a good play. I think it was strong hands. Snead kind of had a hand in there, but I assume it was Pittman. He just kind of reached, just kind of plucked it away.
But, I mean, obviously he's a fantastic blitzer, but, I mean, I saw him making plays in coverage, making plays in the run game. Having Snead become the player that everyone, I think, would have been hoping coming off his rookie year. He obviously had kind of a down year last year. I think having him come into his own would be a huge boost to this defense, especially while we're waiting on McDuffie to get back. The thing that I'm curious about, you are, I think, maybe a little more skeptical than I am when it comes to like Chiefs players that have some longevity, just because I've seen some good stuff early. So I want to get your temperature on Jalen Watson. Like, is this a guy that you think, okay, so I know it's only three games, but this dude looks real? Or are you waiting for him to turn into Marcus Cooper?
Oh, no. Oh, I think he looks fantastic. I mean, I was all in on Marcus Cooper. I don't need to be.
Okay.
I don't need to show restraint here. No.
Okay.
You give me a tall corner, I'm all in on him.
Yeah, I have been thoroughly impressed with Jalen Watson. He has gotten beat on some balls in the air a couple times, but I'm also like, he's a rookie, and he was a seventh round pick, and really the only reason that he's seeing this much action is because McDuffie's hurt. Like, they weren't necessarily prepared for it. And like, this guy is out here making plays in each of the first three games of his career, you know, including the 99 yard touchdown return. I'm really excited about Jalen Watson. I thought he had another pretty good day. I mean, the whole defense, but
he better keep the third cornerback spot over Rashad Fenton. I will say that. Once McDuffie returns, I would hope that he keeps third cornerback. I mean, he's just flashed some skills out there. Like, he needs to stay on the field.
Yeah, and I mean, I was like kind of the almost like the poster child Rashad Fenton defender for the first couple of years, where it was just like, why is it that every time this guy plays, it's only because someone's injured, and he plays great, and then as soon as that person's not injured, they pull him right back off the field. And maybe they've just known that, like, the more Rashad Fenton, the worse it gets. And that's fine, you know, if that's the case. Go ahead. I see your hand.
So, well, I'm just going to get to a couple talking points here.
Yeah.
A couple random plays. Travis Kelce on that throw to the end zone with the guy face guarding and just doesn't jump into the defender, just kind of lets it hit the defender and never really plays back. All he has to do is literally run into the defender. Like, he doesn't even have to make it look fake, like, or make it look real. Just just plow into the defender. He's not looking. The ball's coming. It's an automatic flag. And he just kind of, you know, like kind of sat there. I love Travis Kelce, so I'm not interested in that. But
Is that the play that he apologized for? I mean, people said that he dropped one in the end zone, and I don't remember that at all.
No. That was a deeper corner route, and Mahomes kind of back shouldered him, which would have been to the inside, and he kind of spins around. And it goes right off his hands. It gets into the sunlight. He's in the shade and kind of spins into the sunlight.
That did not feel like a play that he needed to apologize for to me. Did not register that as like a missed opportunity or anything. But
he usually makes that catch. So it was a fantastic throw. Just put it in a spot where only Kelce can get it. And it's a play that's Kelce made a lot of times. So I think that's the idea. I'm not too mad at him for that.
Okay.
I didn't like Andy. We didn't really get to who you mad at today. I was actually going to pull out a little mad at Andy, and maybe not mad, just disappointed. He needed to call a timeout late in that Colts drive. He had all three timeouts. There was a play that the Colts got the first down to the 12. The play ended at about minute 10. Really needed to use a timeout there. They drained the clock all the way down to 33 seconds to a point where the Chiefs lost all control of the clock. And now it's almost like this is the last possession. But then they ended up scoring on that play. But it almost kind of, it's one of those tricky in-game situations like we saw with the Bengals last year, like Patriots, Seahawks that we kind of got into last week randomly. But just when the clock's ticking like that, it's really back and forth on who should be calling timeouts and who should be doing what. But he really needed to call a timeout at that minute 10 spot, and he didn't. Also, another bad Andy, 2 weeks in a row kicking a field goal from the 1 or 2 yard line. This week was from the 2, and the short yardage situation looked so bad that it wasn't horrible. But we just got for a 4th and 2 like at like the 18 or something. So it seemed kind of inconsistent there. So I wasn't thrilled with that. So my who you mad at would have been Andy, for the record.
I think I was just mad at everybody. I wrote down who you mad at just so I could be like, mad at everybody, bunch of jerks. I mean, honestly, I think if I'm mad at like one specific person more than others, I think that I would have to say that it's Tube, because I think the problem that I was having with the special teams was like, you can clearly see that there are problems and you are not doing anything about it. I didn't understand why they continued to let Sky Moore go out to field punts. I didn't understand why they continued to let Pacheco return kicks, whether it's him on the field or just having the okay to return it. Candidly, I don't know why the Chiefs have returned a kickoff for like 5 years. It doesn't make any sense. Every single time you bring it out of the end zone, there's a penalty, or you don't get to the 25. That's just how it goes. It is such a low reward choice, and they continue to do it. And so I can see why people get frustrated with Tube, because they want to say that he's got, you know, control over the roster and he affects way too many player personnel decisions and stuff like that. I just think that they do some dumb stuff, and sometimes they get lucky because it's the NFL and that's how that goes. And they've got great, you know, speed at returner and stuff historically, but it felt like, guys, we should not even be trying to do some of these things. And it felt like, okay, we saw a mistake, and then, oh wait, we saw a second one, and then you let them make a 3rd, 4th, and 5th one. And I was really frustrated. And ultimately, as far as like the kicking game is concerned, I don't know why they, the we're gonna throw a pass on 4th and 10 to a tight end, and it ends up being a punter throwing to Noah Gray instead of Patrick Mahomes throwing to Travis Kelce. And like, I get the element of surprise, but it's not surprising when your kicker has already missed an extra point and has a terrible field goal percentage in his career. Like, there's nothing about it that says you're actually catching them off guard. That decision felt, maybe it was Andy, but it felt like Tobe too. Like, hey, you know, he would call the special teams plays. Maybe he has to run it by Andy. Hey, we're going to do a fake. But like, that was Tube asking to do it. What the fuck for, man? It was just, I just did not. It was like every single decision that they made on special teams was one-upping themselves. And I just did not understand. I was like, everything that you guys are deciding to do on special teams is the wrong choice. They couldn't get it right the whole game. It made me so mad.
I just want to say, we could have had Dicker. We could have had Dicker Kicker. This never would have happened if we signed whatever his first name is, Dicker. He would have been way better. I guarantee it. So yeah, I feel like we did used to have great special teams, didn't we?
Oh yeah, like well known around the league, great special teams.
So I did want to do a little bit of a deep dive on the special teams.
Oh, okay. A little late episode deep dive here.
Oh, that was horrible. That was bad. But that was supposed to match the team's performance was the idea there. So the only way to really quantify special teams is DVOA, or at least that was the way I thought of. So I was looking up Chiefs special teams. Like, are we bad at special teams now? Were we always bad? Let's see what's going on. In DVOA for special teams this season, which shouldn't be a huge surprise, we are 30th out of 32 teams. So not a great start for the specialty teams. So let's go back over the Dave Tobe era. I assume he was hired the year Andy came in. So we're going back to 2013 here, looking at how we finished the year in special teams DVOA rankings. Last year, third. 2020, 17th. Going backwards from there, we finished second, fourth, first, ninth, third, first. That's a lot of top 10 finishes there as special teams. So we have been good at special teams. We are traditionally good. We only had one season we were in the back half of the league, and that was 17th. Every other season is in the top 10 with multiple first place finishes in there. I don't think Dave Tobe's just bad at his job. I think he's off to a bad start, I guess. But the question I want answered was like, is Dave Tobe like losing it? And the data seems to say maybe a little bit, but not too much. A third place finish in special teams last year.
What does it mean to be in a place in special teams? Like, what all is going into the Chiefs were first in special teams? Because there's a lot of things that go into that.
Okay. It says, asking me is how many points compared to league each team receives from five elements: field goals, extra points, kickoffs, kick returns, punts, and punt returns.
Okay.
So it essentially takes how you do on all those against the rest of the league.
Your, I guess, kicker plus return touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, how well you return the kicks, how far your punt made.
Okay.
We've always had good kickers, I feel like, for most of the tenure here, or at least Butker definitely. Mm-hmm. So that definitely helps. We definitely had good kick returns back with Tyreek. Nile Davis was good at it. McColl's had some moments too. He makes some dumb plays, but he's also made a lot of great plays as a returner. So we've had a lot of pieces there that contributed to the kick returns. But overall, just DVOA, this is the only way I knew how to compute it into a simple number. But overall, in Dave Tobes, are very good at special teams. And this year, very bad at special teams.
Hmm. Would Marcus Kemp fix it?
Is he still alive?
Is Marcus Kemp the missing link for the Chiefs special teams? I don't know.
See, I was wondering, like, I don't know who you'd replace him at punt returner with, because the options would be McDuffie, who was injured, or McColl, who was banged up, and you might not have wanted to throw McColl back there. I mean, maybe just put him back there to catch punts. He could do fine. But I just don't know if they have another punt returner. I don't know if Pacheco has ever done that, or if you want him back there as is. But I'm not sure if they have like another punt returner on the option or on the team.
This is the last thing that I have. If Isaiah Pacheco is going to be a terrible kick returner, and the Chiefs legitimized him being active on game day as a special teams decision, and we're going to continue to struggle in short yardage situations and other aspects of the running game, it seems like a pretty obvious choice to me to maybe let the seventh round rookie have a few weeks where he's inactive and have, I don't know, the veteran rusher in Ronald Jones just see how it looks. Because honestly, that offense could probably do with an attitude adjustment. And that's not to say that Pacheco doesn't run hard. I get it. It's admirable. But like, what are we saving Ronald Jones for? I don't understand why he's on the 53 and inactive. It doesn't make sense to me. But I definitely think that if Pacheco is going to continue to look this poor as a returner, sure, I want to try to develop him as a running back. But to me, Ronald Jones is a better running back, and Pacheco does not bring enough in the return game to me to legitimize that him being the person that's active on game day. It doesn't make sense. We can be excited and you know, think about the future and whatever, but like, I don't need Pacheco on my active roster every game day. I don't need that right now.
It's a perfect week for it too. Ronald Jones revenge game. Looming. We should do who's the Jefe?
I like that. Oh yeah, who's, how am I supposed to,
forgot it again.
Who's my Jefe? Not a single Jefe on the whole friggin' roster after that one.
Yeah. Well, your execution of who's your Jefe is worse than the Chiefs.
Yeah, that's fair. You know what? I'm going to facetiously give my Jefe from Chiefs Colts to Clyde Edwards-Helaire because he had 7 carries for 0 yards and a goal line score. Thanks, Clyde. And we have we've got a new, I don't know if we have the right angle or close enough picture to have a new version of the LeBron meme with Pat pointing out the wide open hole that Clyde is not running into. Did you see the all 22 view of where he was pointing?
Yeah.
Because I could have driven my Honda CRV through that hole. It's only a 4-cylinder, but it is a sport utility vehicle. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Clyde's only a 4-cylinder too.
Right. He just get that man some glasses. My God. Not Jameis isn't the only one that needs LASIK here. Okay.
He had the Jerome Bettis in his 13th year stat line of 7 carries for 0 yards and a touchdown. My FA, I'm going to go off the board here. I thought you'd take Nick Bolton, honestly, so I prepared Colin Saunders, who I thought really gave some push up the middle. Also finished as the 3rd leading tackler of the team with 8 tackles. No clue how many snaps he got, but for a defensive tackle to finish 3rd on the team in tackles, especially one who's playing very part-time, not a starter, that's an impressive outing. So my player of the game, or Jefe of the game, Jefe.
Who's your Jefe?
Colin Saunders.
I mean, Bolton's a great choice. I'm kind of obsessed with Nick Bolton. he's so good, man. And I just love how many very smart people, yes, I'm talking to you, Kent, hated that pick so much and had like, oh, yeah, you know, he's a good football player, but like not in this league and can't believe that we did this. And like, Nick Bolton's really good.
I mean, he's got to be the number one reason for our run defensive turnaround, right? I mean, he's got to be the top of that list.
I mean, it's the difference is him instead of Anthony Hitchens, essentially. I mean, we could
not much else has changed.
I mean, I don't. This doesn't need to be a conversation because neither one of us can answer it. But I mean, I wonder if there's some Joe Cullen to that too. Just kind of switching these guys around, coaching staff wise, having the new defensive line coach. There's a lot of people that have been talking about Chris Jones with a new energy in run defense and thinking that like, the way he's being coached by Joe Cullen is really good for Chris Jones's playing style. And I don't know. I mean, I loved the super hyped up camera of him in Chargers game, I think, when he was screaming at him, I told you it was going to happen. I told you it was going to happen and whatever. I mean, Chris Jones was an animal in that game, but apparently also an animal in this one, at least in that one moment.
Verbally, he's a verbal animal.
Uncontrollable rage.
He was just making animal sounds at Matt Ryan, and they couldn't handle it.
I'll say this about that penalty, and then we can get out of here. I think that the ref is going with he said something. I think that the actual penalty was that Chris Jones was talking to Matt Ryan on the ground. He was talking to him while they got up, and he was talking to him while they continued to walk. And so it was like persistent infringement almost, because I would imagine Matt Ryan is walking to his own sideline and Chris Jones is walking with him in the wrong direction. And so it was just like, get out of his ear, man. It's not that you said one thing. It's that you haven't shut up since you were laying on top of him, barking in his ear hole. And like, I'm fine with it. I still think that, especially like your tweet was like, these guys are bashing each other's brains in and you're worried about some words. Precisely. It seems really dumb. Really dumb. But I thought that it was like, instead of just saying that, you know, he said something inappropriate, it seems like you're just upset that he's been saying things to Matt Ryan for like 7 straight seconds. And it's kind of like, we get it, leave him alone.
It could have been continuous. It could have been continuous. He didn't fall onto the sideline. I know that. I've watched the video a couple times. Okay. So no fall, but yeah, it could have been continuous. But I mean, still.
Whatever.
Yeah, get the guy.
Even
Pat McAfee, my new guy I'm watching all the time, he was like, that call was ridiculous, and it won the game. And he's a Colts homer. He played for the Colts, openly roots for the Colts, and was just like, I heard him multiple times, that call won them the game. He said it on Monday Night Football. He said, that call won them the game.
Well, I'm glad that he can tell the truth. Folks, the truth is the Chiefs are 2-1 heading into a game in an yet-to-be-determined location. Sunday Night Football against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers looming. We'll see how this Chiefs offense is able to kind of recoup after a couple of nutty performances. This has been Amateur Hour. I'm Ryan Scott Hall. He's his Dirkness. Go Chiefs.
Who the best?
Go join.